David in all his might, even as a little shepherd boy. And David said, and Saul said, I got to have this guy. This guy's fearless. This guy is awesome. He's not afraid of anything. And so he goes up in the house of Saul. And while he's there, Jonathan, who was supposed to be, is the prince, who is supposed to be the next king, he gets him and David get locked up. And when they get to be friends, it's awesome, awesome friendship. And there's something that he does. Years ago when I read this, I really was not aware of what was going on. I just thought he was looking out for him. And as I got studying, I found out this is so, so deep. Matter of fact, it doesn't even put the whole ceremony. It just puts this first part of the ceremony. So you do the Hebrew Talmud, and you can look through there, and you can look through Hebrew writings, and you can find the whole ceremony. But it's called the Blood Covenant. And Jonathan, who loved David, knew that David was going to be the next king, not him. And so Jonathan, instead of being jealous, instead of being envious like Saul was, he embraced David, which is awesome. So here it is, at chapter 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking with Saul, that the son of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. You can kind of say they thought alike. They actually thought alike and thought alike toward each other. It was really an awesome relationship. You know those awesome relationships you got where you just do anything for somebody? And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Now, if you're not careful, you just fly on by this. So we're going to stop. We're going to throw the plow down. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you, God, for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for your power, your authority. Lord, I know, God, you know right now we have Sister Mary and Sister Dorothy are both in the hospital. You're able to take care of both of them, to get them back up on their feet. We trust you for that, Lord. Father, I lost my high school best friend this week. Lord, it hurt. But, Lord, I know that it's in your hands, and I trust you right now, Lord. And I ask you right now, Father, touch, Lord, everybody that might have suffered some loss this week or suffering whatever this week, Lord, if it just be financial, mental, physical, spiritual difficulty, Lord, let this sermon reach out in a very fresh and understanding way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down and tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here, you'll be here after I'm gone. Amen. Amen. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So now, God takes a high value in the blood. He takes such a high value that his son gave his life on Calvary's hill because of this. Today I want to talk to you about understanding the blood covenant. And it's a blood relationship, a covenant relationship. So you see, there's one big difference between religion and salvation. There's a lot of people today that are religious. There's a lot of people today that are serving God in a religious way, and they don't even know them. There's people that have been very high up in the church, and I ask them, they start telling about all their roles and what they do in other churches, and I say, are you born again? They say, what's that? This is here now. Among us, there's people all over Beaufort County. There's people all over Pamlico County, Pitt County. They're serving God, but they don't know Him. Amen? So now, religion is based on rules. Salvation is based on relationship. But it's not just any relationship. It is based on a covenant relationship. And a covenant relationship is the most powerful relationship known to man. It is an awesome thing. Matter of fact, that word covenant means to cut. How many know that? Covenant means to cut. Now, a lot of people out here, we'll sign contracts. And a contract is based on, and there's even contracts we sign in church. Contracts are based on the law. They protect personal rights. They limit personal responsibility. But covenant is different. Covenant is not based on the law. Covenant is based on agape. It is based on love. It's based in a whole different way. Our marriages, in the eyes of the government, is a contract. You hear me talk about this, but our marriage. I'll get rid of this cough in a minute. And I had some water up here, and it just disappeared. Amen. Grew some legs. So I was there. Thank you. There's a little bit there. Thank you. Wherever the other one went. Well, there's somebody's. I hope y'all ain't got any boogers in it. I'm going to eat and drink it. Whoever drank this, I'm sure if it didn't get any spit back in there. I'm looking. I don't see any sea monkeys. There is a piece of a nab, but that'll be all right. That piece of nab will be like breakfast. Here you go, dear. I'm not sure where that bottle came from. Somebody had communion early, though. Not only is the wafer, and I've done it today. Amen. Whatever's the wafer, that nab in there was the wafer. I got it. It's cool. It's cool. Thank you, though, sister. Thank you so much. You backwashed it. Oh, it was yours. Okay. Let's see. BJ. All right. Okay, here we go. The covenant relationship is the most powerful relationship known to man. It's more powerful than any relationship in the world because it doesn't just encompass the world. The covenant relationship is eternal. Did you know that? The covenant relationship is something very powerful that God takes life because covenant itself means to cut. Both parties in a covenant relationship have to give up something, and it's costly. And guess what it is? Either physically or symbolically, they give up their blood. Wow. So now, we're sitting here looking at this covenant relationship between David and Jonathan. And we'll read it again. The covenant relationship is said that it came to pass when he made an end of speaking unto Saul, that Saul, the son of Jonathan, was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more into his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, his bow, and his belt. Girdle his belt. This is the beginning of the symbols of the blood covenant. What he was saying here is, I am with my robe. By giving him his robe, he was actually saying, my position is your position. I am set up to be king of Israel, but now you're just as much in a position of authority as I am. When he gave him his garments, he said, now I'm giving you my possessions. My possessions are your possessions. And then he gave him his sword and his bow and his belt. Now, how many know the belt was more than something to hold your pants up? The belt was used to hold your weapons when you're in battle. You reach down to your belt, sort of like Batman. You got your belt and you pull off and you got all your instruments there to fight with. All right, so there's the sword and the bow was actually his power and his protection. What he's saying is, David, no matter what, I've got your back. And David, because David would exchange, David says, and I've got your back. Wow. Now think about this thing now. It wasn't just Jonathan given. David would have also give his too. Now, I don't know if it's because they were in a hurry. I don't know if it's because of what was going on or how it was, but they didn't show the whole relationship. Abraham, when God is making a covenant with Abraham, and he is telling him that I'm going to give you Canaan, God, again, shows the blood covenant. And you'll see it in the prophets. They'll say, again, they talk about the blood covenant. Then Jesus, the greatest of all, showed us the blood covenant. So now we're going to talk about Jesus a little bit. And we're going to talk about the steps in making the blood covenant. And we're going to take it to what Jesus did for us before he died. A series of events was set into motion. Two people, when they decided to cut the covenant, it is referred to as the blood covenant ceremony, and is considered so serious. It's considered a most solemn thing. You just wouldn't do it with anybody. This is just not something you did to say. I remember when I was a little boy, we go watch TV and we see them make a big old blood covenant. So we go climb in the treehouse, or we climb in over where we're at, and we take a pin and we stick a pin in our fingers, and then we get drops of blood and we say we're blood brothers. How many ever did that, fellas? Yeah, we're blood brothers. And women too. And we were blood brothers. Amen. Well, this is a whole lot farther than that. So here's, watch this now. Watch it, watch it. Each time a covenant was cut, each time, y'all say each time. Each time a covenant was cut in Israel, it pointed to what Jesus was going to do on Calvary. Every blood covenant ceremony, no matter why you did it, it always pointed to Jesus and what he did on Calvary. Here we go. Here's the steps. Now, some ceremonies may have a couple of more steps. Some have a couple of less steps. So what I did is I tried to consolidate so we can go ahead and not make this so complicated. And again, it depends on which historical document you're looking at, deciding on what step may be there and what step may not be there. And so if you know this and you're going to say, well, he left out a step. No, I didn't. I consolidated. So we can go ahead and get this thing, make some good sense. So here we go. Steps of the covenant. First thing they would do is they would exchange robes. In other words, David was placed in a place of authority when Jonathan gave him his robe. When Jesus cut the blood covenant with us, the first thing he did, I want you to think about something now, is he gave us his robe. First Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, but that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you into the darkness into the marvelous light. A royal priesthood. Wait a minute. We're priests. We're kings and priests. The Bible says in Revelation, we're kings and priests. Wait a minute. I've done nothing worthy to be a king or a priest. Jesus has. And so Jesus says, when he cut the covenant with us, I'm going to take you and I'm giving you my robe and I'm going to make you kings and priests. I'm going to put you in a place of authority. Number two, they would exchange garments. That's identity. And so now, watch this. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. So what he's done is God took our fleshly robes of self-righteousness and removed them and put the robes of righteousness on us. Now when Satan comes at you and says, look at what you did. Look at how you've done. Look at the things in your past. You can say, wait a minute. I'm in a covenant relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. And he took my old filthy rags and he replaced them with robes of righteousness. I'm not righteous in my own self. I'm righteous in the covenant that was cut by Jesus Christ. We are holy people. Amen. So now, next thing. It's changing the weapons or the belt, your power and protection. Remember, Jesus said, I got your back. His back was whipped so he could say, I've got your back. The Bible tells us in Matthew 16:18, I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Next time the devil says he's going to shut the doors of this church, next time the devil says he's going to tear up your home, the next time the devil says he's going to destroy you, you can tell him, no, because I've got a blood covenant cut by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood is more powerful than anything you got, Satan. Matter of fact, you got to sit down when the blood is applied. Praise the Lamb of God. We are more powerful. Praise the Lamb of God. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Father, my brother, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. It's to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Where did that armor come from? The blood covenant. We couldn't do it on our own. Amen? And then, exchanging of names. You know what this is? This is power of eternity. Power of attorney. Amen. You mean Jesus exchanged names when he cut that covenant? Yeah. He gave us power of attorney. He said, what are you talking about? Philippians 2 and 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things of heaven, things in earth, and things under earth. And he says, you can use my name. Praise the Lamb of God. Look and look. And these things, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall I cast out devils? Shall I speak with new tongues? We baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for folks in the name of Jesus Christ. Before we eat our meals, we thank God in the name of Jesus Christ. Before I stand up here, I say, thank you, Jesus. This is not my church, it's yours. Praise the Lamb of God. Upon this rock he built his church. It's Jesus, 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 and nobody else. Praise the Lamb of God. There's no other name. And God says you can use that name. Woo! Praise the Lamb of God. Remember me telling you about that time we were over at Woogie's, and there was a whole bunch of people in there, and here come this squad car, and it parked in front of Woogie's, and I didn't see who the patrolman was or who the sheriff was. He got out, he was dressed in black and had his hat on, and he went walking like he was walking towards Woogie's, and there was a lot of guilty people in there that day. Because they all looked at the window, and then they ran to their seat, and they pulled up their menu, so you couldn't see who they were. A couple people went to the bathroom. I looked out and said, who is that? That guy looks familiar. And all of a sudden, he stands in the middle of the stoplight with the stoplight still going. And the cars are coming, and he does this, and they stop. He turns around that way, and they stop. He turns around this way, and I said, no wonder he looks familiar. That's Daniel. And everywhere he turned, they stopped. And then here come a hearse and a family car. And he said, and he kept telling everybody else to stop. Let me tell you something. Daniel's an awesome man, but he can't stop against the S10. He couldn't stop against some other cars hitting him. You know what they were stopping for? Because he had a badge. It says, I'm standing in the name of the laws of North Carolina, which are backed by the laws of the United States government. Amen. Got authority. Guess what? We're the same way. Satan ain't got to stop because you go, boo! Matter of fact, he'll laugh at you when you bring out that name, Jesus. The Bible says the devils tremble when they hear his name. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. Matter of fact, I heard somebody not long ago tell me, said, I'm having problems. I wake up at night and there's this, these images at my bed. And he says, what do I do? He says, it's scary. I said, well, I had the same thing happen to me years ago. He said, what'd you do? I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And I turned back over and went to sleep. He said, they go away. I said, they come back next night. What'd you do? I said, I'm trying to say, oh, it's just you, Satan. Turned back over and went to sleep. It stopped. In the name of Jesus. Now, these are all the exchanges that take place. But after there's exchanges that take place, watch this. This is the most powerful of all. After you've exchanged robes, you've exchanged garments, you've exchanged weapons, and you've exchanged belts, you have exchanged names. Now, animal sacrifice. Now, when this animal is sacrificed, it's laid out before you. And we're going to talk about what happens after it's laid out before you. But let me tell you something. Just all this stuff by itself is power. But you know what gives it the power? Because Jesus carried that cross. Because Jesus died on Calvary. The Bible says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away the sins. But wherefore he cometh into this world, it said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. When John the Baptist saw him coming over the hill, he said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. So here's what would happen. When they sacrificed the animal, listen carefully. Here's what God did for Abraham. When they sacrificed the animal, they would split it down the middle. When they sacrificed the animal and split it down the middle, they put one half on the side of one person, one half on the side of the other person, and blood would be everywhere. And here's what they would do. They would walk through it, through that blood. As they walked through that blood, they exchanged vows to each other. And what they were doing was called the walk of blood. When it did the walk of blood, what it was saying is, if I break this contract, if I don't do what I said I was going to do, let me be like this animal down here. And so they would walk the walk of blood. You ought to be thinking about this now. The Bible says in John 19:7, he bearing his cross went forth to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Jesus, after he was beat to a pulp, literally bones would be exposed in his body, organs exposed. Here's this man walking with this 100 to 200 pound cross on his shoulder. He walked a 7 mile journey. 7 miles to get to Calvary. They wanted to march him all through the streets with a man walking in front with a sign saying what his crime was. When he was put on the cross, that sign was nailed to the top of the cross. You know what it said? Jesus, King of the Jews. So he's walking 7 miles in his own blood. The walk of blood. Jesus did that for us. I can't think of anybody else that would do that for me. Nobody. They say they will, but I just don't know. So now, after there's the walk of blood, there's the cutting of the covenant. What they would do is they would actually cut the wrist or the palms. They would get the blood. Along with getting the blood, they would take hyssop and they would take some other kind of elements and they would mix the blood together. But not only would they mix the blood together, then they would actually mark it so that mark would be there for the rest of their life. The mark would be there, the mark of the covenant. The Bible tells us, you know, we sit back and think about, you know, we read the scriptures and we don't quite understand exactly what sometimes the scriptures are saying. John 19:18, it says there they crucified him. If you look in other translations and look at that word crucified, you know what the word crucified means? There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were nailed with him, one on each side, and Jesus between them. When Thomas wouldn't believe, what did Thomas say? Unless I can see the scars, I won't believe. As I can thrust my hand into his side, there you go. There was the mark of the covenant, the scars of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I've heard it said many a time, the only thing in heaven made by man are the scars in Jesus' hands and his feet. Somebody said, how do I know what's doing when I get to heaven when I see Jesus? Said it'd be easy. You can see the scars. Amen? I'll see the scars. And so now, this is going to be kind of out of the order of what Jesus did, how he did it, but this is the order of the blood covenant. So I left it in the order of the blood covenant. After they made the scars, everybody turn your head, I'm going to blow my nose, it might get messy. Turn your head. Okay, now you can look up. They had a covenant meal. A covenant meal to ratify and to celebrate. Sacrificing of the animal, the exchanging of all this stuff, sacrificing of the animal, the walk of blood, the scars in the wrist. Then they had that memorial meal. Mark 14:22-24 says, take, eat, this is my body. Having taken a cup, he gave thanks and he gave them and he drank of it and said, this is my blood, New Testament, which is poured out for many. He gave them the bread and he gave them the wine. That was the covenant meal. Next week is Easter and it's amazing. I love it. Next week is Easter, and it's the first Sunday, so you know what we're going to do in Sunday morning service on Easter Sunday? Is we're going to have communion. Isn't that awesome? And then, I love this. This is my favorite part. After they exchanged all this stuff, after they killed the animal, cut it in half, they walked the walk of blood or the path of blood. After they got the scars in their wrist and the blood was mingled, and they had their covenant meal, the last thing they did was they planted a memorial tree. And that memorial tree was to be a symbol from here on out, the covenant that was made. Now, I didn't put a whole bunch of pictures. I just want you just to read it. I was just putting things right up there. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, after they planted the tree, do you know what they did? After they planted it, they sprinkled it with the blood of the sacrifice. Wow. The cross. Jesus' blood. What a memorial tree. Every time I look at that cross, I can remember that Jesus cut a covenant with me. He didn't it was hard enough just thinking about him dying, but everything he did was in that order of an established thing they've been having for centuries. Jesus did it when he died on Calvary. Now watch this. I'm crucified with Christ now. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live through Jesus Christ. Awesome. 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 One of the thieves on the cross. Did you know one of the thieves on the cross was Paul, the Apostle Paul's daddy? Paul said, my old man was crucified with Jesus. Okay, never mind. Y'all were getting too serious. I was trying to lighten it up a little bit. Y'all getting... We have a covenant with God. It's a victorious covenant. And Jesus cried, it is finished. I want you to think about something. Here's a man who has lost most of his blood. Remember, the pain of the crucifixion is you would asphyxiate because you couldn't breathe. Your body fluid would go and fill up in your lungs. What body fluids you had left would be in your lungs, and you couldn't breathe. They took the cross, and when they nailed your hands and nailed your feet, they gave you just enough room so you could pick yourself up. You'd pick yourself up to get the weight off your hands, and there'd be your feet. So then you hold on with your hands, you let go of your feet. And they put a piece of metal right here, a stake right here, so you couldn't even lean up against the cross and get any relief. So you're sitting here with a stake in your back. Your feet are like this. They've looked through, and they've even found on these places of crucifixion, they found bones that still had nails through the bone. So sometimes they put your feet this way and nailed it this way, and sometimes they put it this way and they nailed it. But can you imagine? He can hardly talk. And the Bible says, after he'd been up there for all those hours, the Bible says he cried with a loud voice. Remember, he cried with a loud voice. It is finished. Wow. I can hear all the other things he said. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Mother, behold thy son. Every time he talked, he had to pick himself back up and let himself down. When he gets this part, it is finished. Do you know, if you look in the Greek, this is the same cry of a Roman general watching a battle from a hill. And when he sees his side definitely winning, he cries this same thing to his troops. When the battle is won, he hollers, it is finished! It is finished! The battle is won. One soldier, when he heard this cry, he could not understand why a man dying on a cross would shout the victory cry of a Roman general. And he said, surely, this was the Son of God. So when he cried, it is finished, it meant there was victory. Also, the levy was paid. Jesus had won the battle. He paid the debt. Now, when you find yourself having a hard time this week, I want you to stop. And I want you to think that when he died on that cross, it wasn't by some happenstance. Tonight, I hope y'all get a chance to see it. Bill O'Reilly's book, Killing Jesus, is going to be on television. I heard somebody in the doctor's office over there in the emergency room saying, I don't want to see it because it's all based on history. Don't show all the miracles. And I thought, you got to be out of your mind. I want to see it because he said, I weren't trying to prove that Jesus was the Son of God. I believe he is. At the back of his book, he says, I believe in the miracles. He said, but what I was trying to prove is that Jesus actually died. Because some people say it's just a falsehood. He didn't really die. So Bill O'Reilly, who was a history teacher before he did all this, he says, I want you to see the documented facts that Jesus was born, that he was sentenced, and that he died. I want you to see it. So don't look him for some bunch of miracles and all that. I want you just to go look him at the documented facts that he got through history. If you get a chance to watch it, Killing Jesus. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's there to help the critic who says Jesus never was, show that he was. Amen? God is awesome. Come on up here. Come on up here. I'll play something. The next time you begin to feel like God doesn't care, or that life is just too rough, here's all I want you to remember. He's exchanged robes with you. He's exchanged garments with you. He's exchanged weapons with you. He's exchanged names with you. He was the lamb, the sacrificial lamb that was split. He walked the walk of blood. He did this. He's got the covenant scars. Jesus loves you that much. It's not by happenstance. It wasn't because the Romans decided they want to crucify him. That was just a vehicle God used because God wanted Jesus to do all the blood covenants so you would know later on that God did this for you and that he loves you. Just raise your hands for a minute. Just raise your hands. And I want you to thank God for what he's done. It was crazy in those streets that day. There was a lot of shouting going on that day. People couldn't understand why he was dying. But God knew that he had to finish that blood covenant. When he showed the disciples and he showed Thomas those scars, he said, look at the covenant scars. I made a covenant with you, and I won't break it. I want you to remember when things get tough, he made a covenant with you, and he won't break it. God made a covenant with us, and he won't break it. Now, if you got a need in your life, if it's salvation, if you need to rededicate your life, if you just want God to use you more than ever, if you got problems that you can't solve, or you've got difficulties that you need help with, the altars are open. And when you kneel down at this altar, I want you to remember there was a covenant cut for you. A covenant cut for you. Come on, I don't want to pray. Come on up here, whatever you need to pray for, come on. There was a covenant cut. Sealed. The memorial tree is right here, the cross. God is able. God is able. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Everybody that will, you got to pray. Come on up here. Come on and pray. If you want to pray for yourself, pray for somebody else. There was a blood covenant cut, sealed in his blood. Sealed in his blood. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You sealed the covenant. You sealed the covenant. You sealed the covenant. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You sealed the covenant. You sealed it with your blood. We thank you, God, for the scars in your hands. We thank you, God. You said, by your stripes we are healed. We're going to hold on to it. You said, we can call on you, and no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We're going to believe that. You cut the covenant. You cut the covenant. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I give it freely. I'm cutting the covenant. I'm cutting the covenant. He gives you new authority, new identity, new ability. And he seals his promise with his blood. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory! 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're a powerful God. Everybody, I want you to repeat after me. I got a strange feeling in my heart. If somebody wants to rededicate their life and they don't know exactly how to do it, they don't necessarily want to come to the altar, so we're all going to do it. It don't hurt to rededicate your life. I want everybody in here to say, Lord, say it where I can hear you. Lord, I need you to take control of my life. God, I rededicate myself, my being to you. You've already cut the covenant, God, and I trust it. Now I'm going to hold on to it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Raise those hands. Y'all can sing it. God is awesome all the time. God is awesome. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that day. Something about that name. So stand. Stand up, sing it.
Let all heaven. There's something about